Ryan, this is Shoulda, Woulda, Didn't. The girls that you answered on episode 5, I believe, podcast 5, with Clayton, about her band boy dilemma. Well, as you can probably hear the shitty audio, I am on my way to drive 4 hours to this guy that I am fucking bonkers about him. And I just wanted to give you an update that I'm going through with it. I'm doing it. And thank you for both yours and Clayton's advice. And I will keep you guys posted on what happens tonight. I'm either going to call you happy as a schoolgirl or possibly in a drunk stupor. Either way, I think it's going to be okay. But regardless, thanks a lot, guys. And I'll talk to you soon.
Welcome, episode 10. Yeah, I could have done that before I immediately jumped into this, but I didn't. Episode 10 of the Anxious and Angry thing that I'm doing. That means I've done 10 of them, which is pretty significant for me, I guess. I am currently getting ready to get on a plane and go to Minneapolis, and I'm going to hang out in my homeland for a little bit and get my shit together, go do some stuff, go to the doctor. I got some weird health thing outside of my dumb brain that I'm going to try and take care of while I'm there. And I'm also going to go up to a cabin and try and write some stuff and do some podcasts up there in the middle of nowhere, which should be kind of cool. But that phone call that we listened to in the beginning of this was from the girl that Clayton and I read her email about the relationship that she was pretty funny about, and it's pretty rad. She decided to go meet the dude in the town this mystery band was playing in. I hope that works out for you. If not, you know, whatever. There's a million people everywhere for everyone. But I really genuinely do hope that works out, and I trust you will call and let me know either way. So, let's see, what else is going on? We did the punk rock bowling thing. It had its ups and its downs and kind of taught me a little bit about what I want to do with Off With Their Heads and with everything else. And in all of that, it was a good learning experience. I feel like now is just not the time to continue doing that for a second and get some other shit together. So, and I don't mean this podcast or my store. It's just trying to figure out something, write some new songs, get a little more current. You kind of get sick of playing the same songs over and over again after a while. And I want to make sure that when we come back and play again, it's not mediocre and it's good and everything's the best that it can possibly be. And right now I think that a summer off and working on getting my head straight is going to be the best thing. The last weekend pretty much solidified that thought for me, so that's good. It's a little hard to come to terms with. That's all I've done my entire adult life. Now I need to figure out something else, but instead of getting mopey about it, I'm gonna think about it, and I'm gonna actually do that. I know when I'm in Minneapolis, I'm planning on recording something that is not off with their heads. And that's a huge step for me, obviously, since I've never done that. It's been a while. While I'm there, I'm also going to be talking to Patrick Costello. I'm going to be talking to my old pal. I haven't talked to him in years, so I guess we're not pals. But we played our first show ever with POS of Doomtree and his solo thing. So he and I are going to talk. He's been through some shit since the last time I seen him. So that'll be cool. I might try and talk to Lane Peterson, the drummer of Dillinger Four, who's the guy who basically saved me with his psychology practice, hooked me up with a dude that gave me some perspective on some shit, and ultimately led to this thing. So that's kind of cool. And then, I don't know, there's tons of other people. I'd love to talk to Dessa, too. Dessa Darling. I just got a book of hers I'm going to read on the plane tonight. If you have any other good Minnesota ideas, feel free to write me and hit me up about that. Because I'm going to be there for an undetermined amount of time. I don't know. Probably not too long. But while I'm there, the lovely Stacy D will be taking over the store for me. So if you would like anything from her, some words of wisdom written on a box, if you decide to order with your Flexi, go ahead and do that. So anyway, in Vegas, I was so fucking out of my mind, stressed out with everything going on. I didn't get to do nearly as many interviews or have as many talks with the people that I wanted to, just because I wasn't feeling like it. It's kind of hard to do this sometimes when I'm just in my own little world of being a fucking lunatic, to like be like, okay, well, go talk to this person that you don't really know that well about this shit. So I just decided I would just do Mike from the Gamblers. And we sat in my room and we did it, and it didn't fucking record again. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, what else could go wrong? But Mike was cool enough to sit there, be patient, and let me figure this shit out. And it all worked. We got a great thing out of it. He's a funny guy. He's a good friend of mine. And I think that comes off in the interview, you can tell. So without further ado this week, let's just get right into a Gambler's song off The Confusion of Our Enemies. This is one of my favorite songs off that record. It is called The Biz Love Sluts on Anxious and Angry.
Don't you think I'm lying if you feel it wrong?
All right, what's up, motherfuckers? We're back. I'm here with Mike Wiebe. That was the Biz Love Sluts. Mike, what the fuck's up, yo?
Yo, just chilling in Vegas, looking at some leathery titties.
See, I was talking like that because we're in Vegas. It's gross.
This place is fucking gross. I've got a good like 6 hours of just being a rube and being impressed by lights and like, wow, look at all the lights, and then it just grows thin. Like after like 6 hours, I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Totally. Man. Well, like after 2 a.m. when you're walking down here, we're downtown, by the way. It's completely quiet.
Yeah.
And then there's this weird casinos that you can go in and
It's bad. We
like this one. This one's real weird.
Weird.
I was telling John on last week's thing, there was a dude who walking down the hall who had Mein Kampf tattooed on the backs of his arms, and I was like, oh, nice. Yeah. That's nice.
Welcome.
What a nice place.
He's home. One time we were on tour and we had a Saturday show and then a scheduled day off, and then we were going to leave on the Monday morning. And then when we went to leave on the Monday morning, our van broke down, and we were stuck here for an additional 4 days.
In Vegas for four days. People don't even go on vacation that long.
No, it was – and we were – this was like – I mean, we're broke now, but this was like really early when we were really, really broke.
Yeah.
And it was just like
the $5 a day it is.
Yeah. Yeah. $5 per diems. And then it was just everybody's doing 99 cent fried.
I remember you guys taught me like you get a dollar side salad and then dollar nuggets.
And then you rip up the nuggets and you make a chicken salad. Yeah.
You guys. All right. So chicken nuggets. That's cool.
Yeah.
So this song, The Biz Love Sluts, that we just heard was obviously about the music biz.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also have a friend named The Biz.
We have a friend named The Biz, and he called himself The Biz because when he was in junior high, he used to sell weed, and he was like, he's got this voice that he talks like this.
He's from San Antonio. He's from Denton, right?
I think he's from the Denton area, but he lives in San Antonio now.
Okay.
But he would roll pinners of weed and have them in his pockets. So he's like, man, I had a business. I'm the biz. And then at some point he was going to community college, and he had like a notebook cover, and just huge, he wrote on it, The Biz Heart Sluts, just really big.
See, like, I thought he was in high school. The fact that he was in community college.
He was a grown up. He was an adult, and that's why I was like, I'm writing a song about that. And I wasn't. It couldn't. I don't know. It probably be actually a better song if it was all about how much he likes sluts. The other amazing thing that he said one time was, like randomly on tour, this guy came to one of our shows and he had a chimpanzee with him, like a baby chimpanzee, and like me
at
and
a
body.
Show?
At it was. A whole nother story. And this guy shows up in Hollywood. He's like, hey, I've got the animals out back. You want to see him? I'm like, yeah. So we go out, and me and the guys have all these pictures of like holding a baby chimpanzee in our arms and stuff. So when we got back from tour, we were like showing people the pictures, and he was just like, Mike, no, Mike, that's a bad idea. Them primates, they got diseases man doesn't even know about. They'll snatch the life away from you. And he was like, I think for a while he was scared to hang out with us because he thought we'd caught some kind of like ultra Ebola from this chimpanzee.
Oh my God. I can't believe that. Fucking chimpanzee to a show. That's ridiculous.
It was pretty great.
Huh. Impressive.
You think that was like early touring and you think it's going to, like those early
it's
tours
keep
were so
going.
Exciting and weird stuff on those early tours. And now it's just like, where's the hotel and the internet? What's the Wi-Fi
What's
password?
The Wi-Fi
What's
password the Wi-Fi is password? My least favorite question.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself saying
yeah.
it.
Yeah, oh,
like,
constantly.
Damn it.
Constantly.
Well, so there's the story for The Biz Love Sluts. So Mike plays in the Gamblers, the Riverboat Gamblers. And you have seemingly begrudgingly done that just like me.
Yeah.
Like we love it and hate it.
Yeah.
And it's our thing.
Yeah.
It's our baby.
I've said that it's every day is I'm saying
a blessing.
hashtag blessed. Every day is I'm saying to myself the sentence, this is what I'm doing with my life. And on a good day, there's an exclamation point at the end. On a bad day, it's a question mark at the end. This is what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah.
Or, this is what I'm doing with my life.
Well, it's better than just three dots.
Yeah, yeah. That's some days. That happens some days, too.
Some days, that's the worst way you can do it. It's three dots. It's like,
Yeah.
But we're in Vegas. You're playing tonight.
Yeah.
At
it's an exclamation mark day,
that,
baby.
That, yeah, it certainly is. That's fucking stupid. This is dumb. This whole thing is dumb.
I will say about this,
it's not dumb.
I'm
it's
having
a lot of
fun.
At you've this done festival, this before, too. Right?
Yeah, yeah. But I will say, if anybody who ever comes to this makes fun of the Gathering of the Juggalos, they are full of shit. Because this is the same fucking thing. It's the same fucking thing.
It really is.
Except for less rap rock.
They don't. Doesn't seem like anyone tries to kill you if you're not one of them, though.
Yeah, probably not.
So it's a. I'd say it's a step below.
Yeah.
Or above.
Above. Yeah.
I don't know which one. So you're doing that. You just got off tour with
Anti-Nowhere League
and
TSOL.
True Sounds of
True
Liberty.
Sounds of Liberty.
Have you read Jack's book?
No, but I actually bought some books from him on the road.
He has a book called An American Demon.
Yeah,
that I read, which is about how he thinks he's a demon. It's we played with him.
Yeah,
and I'd read that book, and I was like, I'm scared of you guys.
Wow,
you guys are fucking. And then they all laughed, and they're just like, no, that's not that. You know,
he has
they're real creepy. They are creepy though.
California kind of guy talk. It's kind of like a
slick back hair. Like, but there's an element of like, you guys have definitely tied a kid up and thrown him in a pool before.
Yeah, yeah. Suburbia was a documentary.
But yeah, how was and I'm not going to talk about this music stuff too much, but
good.
I'm really curious because like when you told me you were on tour with them, I was like, what?
There was like, there was one kid or two kids every night at the front of the stage that I would have to kind of make this little judgment call of, are you flipping me off and saying fuck you because you love the show and it's your Asperger's punk way of saying that because you don't know how to respond to things that
like,
you like.
Oi!
Yeah, yeah. And because sometimes and they love.
All right, here we are. We're back. What happened with this podcast is that the world is against me and nothing is going to work ever because we recorded about, what'd you say, 15 minutes after that, talking about real cool and important things about medications and the different things that it takes to do that. And this fucking thing just didn't work again. Then the fire alarm went off.
And the most annoying fire alarm in the history of annoying fire alarms.
It was literally like, I don't know what to do. So fuck this. Me and Mike have decided, you know what? We're going to go through this. We had so much good stuff and I'm so pissed and I need to have a better setup. No fire alarms, no bullshit. But what we're going to do is we're going to go directly into some
advice.
No, get this. We're going to play another song.
All right.
What's up? We're going to play something off the old record.
That something to crow about?
Yeah, because maybe some of these people don't know what's up.
Man, where have you been?
Yeah.
What kind of rock are you fucking living under?
So let's do that, because we need to fill time now, because because I'm doomed, and I'm so glad that you're here instead of someone I don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
because you're very sympathetic to me.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to
you. You encourage
technical.
Me.
And
you're like, hey, little buddy, it's okay.
Jesus Life is tough. Christ.
No, I'm pissed.
Let's make lemons out of lemonade. Whatever.
I don't know any song names, but what's the one off that record? God, I played with you. I forgot to tell everyone that your band falls apart every tour. So this time, Foddy had some problem and he had to go home. So I filled in a little bit and it was a lot of fun.
That was a good time.
Made the best of a shitty situation,
and I felt like this. You know, people had fun. They got a treat.
Totally, a little bonus thing. But
what's what? Maybe dun, 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 Rattle Me Bones. Dun, 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 dun. That's Rattle Me Bones.
All right, Rattle Me Bones on Anxious and Angry.
Yeah, number one, number one, number one, number one.
sorry, that was Rattle Me Bones by the Riverboat.
The Riverboat.
Riverboat Gamblers.
River.
Boat That's off gamblers. Something to Crow About. It came out in 1954.
Yes.
And is still alive and jive. So now we're going to get into some good stuff. Do you want to read that or do you want me to read that? Are you a reader out louder?
I'll give it a shot.
Do it. Like, let's see if you're better than me.
Ryan, there's about a million things I want to say. And he fortunately doesn't say all of them because I've seen some of the other letters you've gotten.
Yeah, I've got a lot of million.
They literally
things.
Have a million
this
things that they say.
Directly
to
the yeah. point, and that's why it's being read right now.
I'm surrounded by people all the time, and I can't tell a single one of them how I feel. I feel like I'm just going to let them down or disappointed, and I'm so tired and angry. It's like, have you ever had something that you wanted so bad, and you just know that you can never achieve it? I can relate.
Yeah, of course.
All I've ever wanted to do my whole stupid life is play music because for that half hour, I'm as close to happy as I can get. So I spent the last 6 years touring and playing shows, and now because of that, I've alienated some of the only people that care about me. Did I write this? I don't
know. Right? I know. Maybe I That's why this. I thought this was
I don't remember writing this to you. And in reality, it's not like my shitty punk band is anything that anyone cares about. I just wanted to make someone happy the same way other people's music made me happy. And instead, it's turned me into a miserable, coke-addled alcoholic who lies to his family and friends. I feel like such a coward, and I'm losing it. I'm not crazy. I just feel like it. And I really do apologize to lay this shit on you, but I'm feeling so lost, and I feel like you're the only person who might listen to me and not judge me. I just want you to know that I appreciate you taking the time to read this shit. It means more to me than you could ever know. And there's a little picture, blurry picture of him.
No, that's because it's off Facebook.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I know who this is, but he thinks that no one would get this.
Yeah.
No, dude, every single person who's ever done this gets this.
And it's neat because like few people care about my band, but it's so few, you know. Like you, it's and in a band like at any level, except maybe the Rolling Stones, you can look up and go, "Fuck, I want to get to that level."
Totally, you'll never be happy with it.
And yeah,
I remember being jealous of you guys because you had a million plays on MySpace.
Oh, did we really?
Yeah, that's crazy. That was weird. Yeah, that was probably when everything was really like.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like,
you had a video where you guys were on like space scooters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
that was super sick.
I love that. I love that video.
I bet you did. You were also playing on a flatbed truck at one point.
Yeah.
Now what are you doing, motherfucker?
Now
you're sitting here, fucking
sitting in a
repeating shit on Ryan's podcast,
listening to fire alarms go off. But, you know, any band's career, that's a weird thing, too, is, like, I'm dealing with, like, being an older dude in a band. Like, that's – didn't really plan on that, you know, and kind of having the career – you know, I don't know if it's going downhill, but it ain't going uphill anymore. Like, it's we're just kind of doing what we do, and maybe something will happen.
There's peaks and valleys in this. And, like, that's fine when you're younger. And it's fine at any time, but like when you're younger, it's like, you know, like we'll get through this, but like you do lose a little bit of hope as you get older. And it's a tough thing because you do love doing it, but you got to think a little more long term.
Yeah.
Like, because it's life and you turn to that shit. You start doing cocaine. You start turning into a boozer. You lose your fucking girlfriend that was real cool the entire time. It happens.
I mean, my first advice would be, I mean, the first thing to cut out is cocaine. Yeah. I mean,
that's the easiest thing in the world to not do. I was telling Robbie the other day, I was like, I think it was like after our show, like midnight, I was like, dude, let's go get a shitload of cocaine right now and have a terrible night.
Yeah. And it's less of a terrible night, but a terrible next 2 days.
Yeah,
you know?
It's terrible. And like, it's the only drug that doesn't really do much to you other than make you irritating and crave more of it.
And crave more and feel so depressed. Like if you...
I take that back. You don't feel depressed for a minute.
Yeah, for a minute.
If you don't have a panic attack.
Yeah.
And then the next day you're just like, oh my God. Or when you run out of it, I guess not even the next day, like almost instantly.
But definitely
that shit got me
day.
Real good for a while. Like that whole hospitals era. Like fucking... like 6 a.m. calling the dude selling it, and he's like, fuck off. Like,
it's weird that it's such a cool drug. Like, it's this, and it's got this horrible, that whole, like, I think part of what's so insidious about it is like there's one cool guy that's doing it, and it's like your little secret. You know, there's 8 people at the party, but you and him are fucking, hey, let's make a let's make a little secret sign to each other that everyone totally knows what you're doing there.
Totally.
And but I mean, for me, I never could go too far down into it because of my depression. It gets so bad the day after.
Totally.
And it's just like, and I always know that the depression is just going to wreck me.
That's what bailed me out of it too. Where yeah. I was just that and the like some, I must have had some kind of heart attack.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like I in the back of it. You never went to the Alamo, right?
The
house we lived in Minneapolis.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I remember that was kind of when I first met you, is when I was living there, but just like in the backyard, like collapsed to my knees. Passed out.
Yeah.
And like you don't generally pass out when you're doing cocaine.
Yeah.
And then woke up in the morning. Like it was like, oh.
That's scary.
Yeah, that sucks. I should probably stop doing this. But yeah, okay. So first thing you need to do, buddy, is stop doing cocaine.
Yeah.
Ease off the booze, because it's that never helps either.
It doesn't help.
It's fine to like have a beer.
Yeah.
You know what I did? I cut out shots. I don't do shots anymore. You know what? Fuck it. I don't want to.
Yeah, because you don't really enjoy it. It's just man, this weird like,
there's
thing.
There's a moment where you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then, like, the sloppy, like,
yeah.
dumpster monster comes out.
Totally.
And then it sucks. And then you do another one, and then you're just like, you know, some dude who, I don't know. You're not really yourself.
And it's a weird thing where
you're not
feel
even
like,
really a human. It's
you offered to buy this for me. I have to take this.
Totally.
Like it's a weird.
I learned
thing
how to
get.
Turn people down.
What's your technique?
I go no. Yeah, and they're like, "What are you, some kind of fucking pussy?"
You mad
and I was
genius.
Like, "Yeah,
wow, yeah,
I don't care."
I love that George Carlin line of like, "No, but I'll take the money for it," which I would love for that to happen. That's the other thing too. Like, I think the things that kept me from being like a full blown drug addict. Were one, money. Like, I just never had the money to spend on that kind of stuff. And two, like, it's a weird thing that in some ways my mental illness kind of helped me save me from. I know I would go balls out if I could go balls out and just be. But it just, the depression is so much more intense.
Totally.
Because I've already got it. It's like pretty intense regularly. And then it's like times 20 that I was just like, I can't handle it, you know?
Also, think about the money that you would save from cutting out shots and cocaine. In like a few years, you could have a Dodge Charger.
Oh, fucking hey. Yeah. Add one more year, airbrush used. That bitch.
Oh, yeah, you could airbrush a
Wizard, maybe?
Wizard, like a scene from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking dope.
I have it on my phone. I wish I could show everyone this. If you look at my Instagram account, it's on there. My buddy took a photo of the back. This is, of course, it's in Florida. The back of this car in Florida, and it says never forget, and it's got the New York skyline. It says 9/11, never forget. And then right next to it, it has the worst airbrush drawing of the Incredible Hulk. Just mad with Hulk power.
Oh my god.
And
like doing what?
Just being
like
angry.
Busting the towers
now? No, he's just kind of next. He's closer up next to it. Like he's on, like they took the photo from Staten of him really close, and then you can see like what 9/11 was back there. Man, if Hulk was at 9/11, I think it'd be a different story. We'd have at least one of those towers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even King Kong. Anyone would save New York. But yeah, the Hulk. That's the stupidest thing I've ever. I gotta see that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't know who that guy is, but I want to marry him.
I wish he had like an Al Qaeda dude in his
yeah.
hand, just like
yes.
blood coming out of the eyes. Like, yeah, Hulk.
Hulk Jihad.
I feel like, did we even give advice?
Mm.
We
told
did.
Him not to do coke.
Well, I think that's what it is. Also, being in a band, like, think about that. Like,
yeah.
It's you can do both things. You don't. It's not the old days. Like, your music will get out. You don't need to tour around to the point where it ruins your life.
Yes, that's true.
Especially in a punk band, because it's like, what are you going to gain from it? If you
yeah.
like doing it, then continue to do it. If you don't like it, like I didn't, don't do what I did. I hated it for the longest
yeah,
time, but I still did it just because I'm a fucking stubborn motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you want people to like your band, start a metal band. Punk is the not coolest thing you can be
yeah.
doing right now. In
the,
music,
the metal kids call it hipster shit. Which is great.
Oh,
We're hipsters, by the way.
Oh, that's insane. Nobody.
I'm dead serious. Like, they called when the Bouncing Souls signed to, and I don't lump us in with them because I don't think we are, but this is just point of reference. When the Bouncing Souls signed to Rise, the kids on the Rise board apparently wrote all this shit like, why the fuck would you guys sign this hipster bullshit?
Wow.
The Bouncing Souls.
Wow.
It's like, they're not hipsters.
They don't wear high-waisted jeans.
No. No. What are they?
I don't even... Old dudes like us?
Yeah. They're like 10 years older than
they're
us.
They're older than us, yeah.
So, like, fuck them. Classic rock. Because they're old as hell. Classic rockers.
They're classic rock. It's weird, but I work in bars next to clubs and stuff. Metal is, like, so cool right now.
Yeah, it's insane.
Honestly, if you're going to put... If I was going to define hipster, it'd be like, a young person that's really into like what's hot right now, that's kind of chasing what's the hot trend. And it's like,
Caribou.
Cute chicks that are into metal. That's unheard of.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Growing up. It's insane.
Don't even get me started on that. So let's get back. So basically, cut the coke. Stop doing shots.
Yeah.
Have a couple of beers every now and again. Don't tour to the point where it ruins, because there's no reason to. Do a couple months a year.
Yeah,
go to school. Like, do things to make yourself better.
Yeah,
it works. I don't know.
You can't control. You only have so much control over what happens with your band, because there's so many crazy.
You can be as good as the best band in the world, and if the timing's off, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And there's other so many hundreds of factors. From timing to, like, you know, and you can be the best songwriter ever, but you never know when the bass player is going to find Jesus, or the drummer is going to, you know, get married
totally
and have
true.
A girl pregnant, or then somebody has another worse drug problem. There's no controlling it, and labels, and it's just, there's no, you're playing a bad game. Now that we're in Vegas, you're playing the worst odds. You're playing Baccarat if you join a band. You're playing the game that has the absolute worst odds. So
yeah.
You got to
play
in
fucking Kitty Glitter.
Yeah.
50 cent slots. You're in the high roller section without any money.
With no money. So you just got to enjoy it for what it is. And I have to remind myself that constantly.
Exactly. And that's why I'm taking a break, because I don't fucking like it anymore. And I want to.
Yeah.
I still want to like it. And I was like, no, you know, I can do some other shit for a while.
We're kind of on the same. I mean, like, we've got a guy that's going to have a kid, and. You know, we kind of know where we are. The last record we did came out 2 years ago, 2.5.
God, that's
crazy.
So
it's time to, like, you know, let's take our sweet ass time to write this next record and not worry about there. And there is a kind of cool freedom of going, like, yeah, maybe we're not going to be making our full time living off this, and maybe so that means we don't have to push as hard. So I'm already kind of enjoying it a little bit more, because I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to spend the rest of my life on the road trying to convince people that, you know.
It takes an adjustment period, though, to, like, let that sink in. Because immediately you want to fucking do your band. You want to do it, and you want to do full time.
You've worked at it so hard for so long, you know?
Yeah. And
it's hard to let
matter.
It go. Yeah.
It doesn't matter how hard you work at it. And it is hard to let go. So, that's our advice to you. Like, find the middle ground, and you'll be all right. Let's move on. All right, so Jason writes in. Hey, Ryan, I would like to send some positive thoughts to the people who wrote in about wanting to end their life. Maybe this will help. I had I don't know if you listened to this or not, but a couple weeks ago there was a couple, I'm going to...
Suicidal?
Yeah, like, I'm going to do it in a week. I don't...
Okay.
And you know what I mean? And I was just like, you can't do that to me.
Yeah.
When I started therapy, I was asked if I had thoughts of killing myself. Response was, I do not. I'm afraid to die because I haven't experienced enough joy or lived my life to the full yet. Since November, seeing my therapist every other week has been helping. I got to talk to someone. It has inspired me to put the work in. And that's the title of this this email, which I like. It's put the work in. That's the point. You have to put the work in to get better. Examples: change diet, exercise, volunteer, and yes, get rid of the friends that are not helping. By attempting to change your social circle, you will feel really lonely. Use that to inspire change. Every time I want to lay in bed and dwell on the past, I talk myself out loud and say, get up. What can you do right now? Get up, get out of bed, do something. Think of something, and then just fucking do it. All the best, and keep up the good work. So that's actually, like, it's not a question, but it's a fairly good thing to say.
Yeah.
It's like, and I always say this to people, I was like, you know what? Some of us just have to fucking try a little harder.
Yeah. And no, it's a weird, like, I do therapy, and but some days it's like I can 100% back that, and I have those thoughts and that same, like, I'm going to get this and do this, but some days the depression is just too tough. It's
totally.
It's too thick, and that getting out of bed is such a monster. And I'm, you know, I'm able to kind of make it through. But I don't know. Like, I definitely, I've had a lot of, it's the weirdest thing. Like, I don't think I have straight up suicidal thoughts, but I do at times in like my depression valleys have suicidal ideation where you just kind of like, it's just like, it's almost like playing with an idea where you're like, you know, it'd be really easy to not have to deal with any of this.
Oh, dude.
It'd be so easy.
I think about that shit all the time.
And I think about it, you know, I mean, my depression kind of goes up and down, and I'm constantly working on it and trying to make it better, but some days it wins. There's some days that I've got a comic buddy of mine that like we're kind of each other's co-therapists, and you know, we're constantly calling each other, and it's just like there's some days that we just kind of text like depression won today, and it's just like some days it just it wins, you know.
Yeah, JT wrote me that one day. I was like, hell of a day, it's killing me.
Yeah,
I was like, yep, that's how it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just gotta try harder, and like it's up and down. Up and down is the key.
Did you ever hear back from any of those people that were having the suicidal thoughts and stuff? And
they never wrote back.
Yeah,
but
it's a good sign.
What I did get was emails from other people being like, "Put me in touch with them." This whole thing does is like, sometimes they don't want to be on the show, which is totally fine. But they're just like, "Let me write to them. Let me get in touch," and I just pass each other's info along. Everything works out pretty well.
I will say a lot of times it's a good sign that they actually wrote that. It means that even if they're, I'm thinking about doing this, the fact that they're writing it means that they are reaching out going,
totally.
Somebody.
And that's why I felt bad when I was like, don't fucking write and say that.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel terrible because I can't help it. But at the same time, I want them to so that it can do it. I just don't want them to have an expectation of me to solve their problems
exactly.
when I'm fucking balls deep in my own shit.
Yeah.
So. Thank you for that. That was a good one. All right. John McNaughton writes in. Here I am emailing again. I believe this is the guy who had Crohn's disease and got a surgery to get rid of it per the advice of George Corpse Grinder Fisher.
Wow.
Because the surgery was brutal. He's awesome. and then we had talked about Alcoholics Anonymous and how it could be potential bullshit because it's just like semi-cultish trying to get people into the religious aspects of things. But hey, whatever works. You know what I mean? In the episode with the dude from Touche Amore, AA was described as religious. It can seem that way, and many people see it that way. The words God and higher power are thrown around a lot. However, it doesn't have to be that way. I was a junkie years ago. And a real one. Daily IV opiates, IV cocaine, using dull needles, used syringes in my bed, blood on the ceiling, except Jesus Christ. After an arrest, and because my job at, he was a pharmacist, which I had obviously already lost at the time, but still wanted to practice at some point, I had to seek treatment. That led to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm an atheist. I was still able to get clean, and I will be clean from alcohol and drugs for 8 years in August. I just wanted to make it clear that AA, NA, CA, etc. can work for atheists. I was able to take what I needed and leave the rest. I do not intend to promote these programs, but I just wanted to share my experience. They worked for me. For me, it was like this. Drugs were a power greater than myself. They controlled and destroyed my life. I just figured that there had to be a higher power than dope. Totally. Even if I didn't know what it was, and it wasn't for me, any kind of God... I'm clean and practicing pharmacy again, and NA is the thing that worked. So there, John. So fuck you. No, I mean, like, that's totally true. You know who else goes to NA? Brett Gerwitz.
Does he?
Yeah. And I asked him specifically about that, where I was like, yeah, but what about all the God shit? And he's like, it's not God. It's just like a higher power, which could mean like a vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like even from him where it's just like he's in bad religion.
Yeah.
And he was just like, no, dude, like different things work for different people. I wasn't trying to like talk people out of AA. I was just saying like you might be a little stronger than you think.
Yeah, I you know
people are. You just need a little reinforcement.
I think
you gonna fucking drink that beer or what?
I've been drinking it.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost done with it. So anyway, yeah, go to AA, guys. Like it's clean.
Good clean.
Clean fun. Living. Oh, I love the hops in this IPA. It's a pale ale actually. But you know, I think the good thing about AA and NA is that And I know that, the God stuff does come up, but it's a structure, and a structure for how to deal with the problem. It's like anything else, like working out. Like, you go into a gym, if you don't know stuff to do, you look around and you're like, oh, there's a bunch of metal things in here. I'm out of here. This is too much. Or just anything. Like, I need somebody to hold my hand when I'm trying anything new, whether it's like learning a computer thing or like learning a guitar part or learning anything. I'm a slow person, and I need someone to hold my hand and go, this is how you do this. And I think, you know, somehow that God, it's like you still spend money and it says something about God on your dollar bills.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a religious thing.
You need to accept it for what it is. If it helps and it helps, like, I don't know. There's nothing fucking wrong with that.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. God's not real, but like if that's what helps you, fine.
Totally.
Then it is real. Yeah. That's all you need. If you believe it, I guess it is real. But like, I wasn't trying to talk people out of going to AA, dude. Seriously. Try it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, then don't go. But like, at least try it. You got to try every positive thing.
That's kind of like when I was talking about I kind of made that decision of like, you know what? I'm going to try every drug that there is for my depression, every medication, and give all of them a shot. And if none of them work, then I'll try shock therapy. And I decided I was going to exhaust all the options before I thought anything else. And rather than just like, well, I'm a fuck up drug addict, I'm just going to have to be that way. You should give it a shot, you know?
Yeah, try anything. There's no fucking harm in that. Well, dude, let's wrap this up before, I don't know,
a fire alarm,
a bear runs through the door, or I don't know, the fucking Mein Kampf guy comes in and just busts us in the face.
A bunch of hookers start filing in thinking this is where they're supposed to do something.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
That's going to happen.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, if anything, that's like a normal...
I will say in Vegas, I've noticed some hookers walking around, and I'm never... And I know how the world works, but I'm always just like, oh, you look nothing like Julia Roberts. You are so leathery.
We got to find the Julia Roberts one and be like, you go, girl.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Well, thanks for taking the time in Las Vegas. We're going to do a comedy bit of my choosing.
I don't know if I have that much out there.
No, there's not that much, but I do have some. Okay. So I don't... The worst part about when I do these comedy things is I don't know. Like, there's names for them, but it's just like...
Yeah.
A moose walks into bar. Yeah.
Shoelaces are funny.
So this is Shoelaces Are Funny. Mike Wiebe, thank you for being here.
I'm soaking it in. I'm still drinking. I'm standing there, and somebody hands me a camera, and they go, it's picture time. And the guys in my band, and Bruce and his kid, they're all standing there. And I've had a few to drink at this point, and I'm just reacting to the whole situation, just being in front of an icon and all this. So I hold up the camera, and I go to take the photograph, and I say the thing that you're supposed to say before you take a photograph. I go to say that, I go, say?
Cheese!
Yeah, where were you guys then? See, I started to say cheese, but then somewhere in the other side of my brain, the dumb part that says blow Bruce a kiss, that side of my brain goes, no, you can't say cheese. Cheese is bullshit. Cheese is for amateurs. You gotta say something really fucking cool here. You got to go next level. Now, I started going through my brain Rolodex, and the only thing else that was in there was, I have no idea why, but for whatever reason, my sweet little Midwestern mom would always go, say pickles. And there wasn't anything else in there. I'm rifling through that Rolodex, and they're like, we got nothing. Go to pickles. So I'm halfway through the word cheese, and I decide to move over to the word pickles. And halfway through the word pickles, I realize pickles is fucking stupid. Way worse than cheese. So my brain's going, no, not pickles. Abort, abort, abort. Which is the same thing my brain said to me when my ex-girlfriend told me she was late on her period. Wasn't a big deal, just an ovarian cyst. Big fan of ovarian cysts right there. So, I'm halfway through the word pickles. I know pickles is stupid, but I just realized I got to finish it out because I'm through there. So what came out is me standing with a camera. It sounded something like this. I go, say cha pickles? I felt so stupid. I've never felt like a bigger idiot in my entire life. I was just mortified. The guys in my band were looking at me like pretty much they always look at me, like I'm a complete fucking idiot. And it's just dead silence, just complete silence, until the lone voice of Bruce Springsteen said, pickles. Thank you guys so much.
All right, so there you have it, my fucked up, dumb episode with Mike Wiebe, my dear friend. He was hilarious. He's good. He's a great dude. That's about it for this week. I'm going to immediately finish this and get on a plane, which is kind of kick-ass. I'm excited to get home and see my friends. What else? I got some good stuff coming up. I have a new interface, so there should hopefully be no more fuck-ups. I'll do a bonus episode with what I can salvage from my talk with Jack Dalrymple and Kyle Kinane. And I'll be kicking it real hard in Minnesota. And I love how just as I say that, this fucking thing screws up again. The struggle of trying to do something that you don't know how to do. Jesus Christ. Go ahead and email me, anxiousandangry@gmail.com. I love it when you do. I'm trying to get through everything, so I'm going to try and really bust out some stuff, stay fresh. 1-800-565-3250. Record me an intro. I like those. That's cool. And as always, please go to anxiousandangry.com. Support it in any way that you can. It helps me to keep do this, and feel free to tell a friend. We'll try and help each other out. Todd Congelier and Sean Cole, take me away.